Ingul Oladamare Jenyami Olarun God Jehovah Allah Amen Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our request will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgery, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lying the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you and we honor you and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice, your hard work, and we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our family, for our community, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation, libation, libation. It is good.
Their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Striving, trying. today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment,
yes, sir,
however frustrating the hour, it will not be long, because truth crushed earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes, sir.
Because no lie can live forever.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
How long? Yes, sir.
Because you shall reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
How long?
How
not long?
Long. How long?
Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne.
Yes, sir.
Yet that scaffold sways the future.
Yes,
behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. How long? Not long.
How long?
Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
Yes, sir.
How long?
Not
long.
Not long.
Because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He's trampling out the village where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
Yes, sir.
His truth is marching on.
Yes, sir.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat.
Peace,
he is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat.
Yes,
oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on.
Yes.
Glory, hallelujah.
Yes,
glory, hallelujah.
Hello, my name is Nawanda Chambers, co-host of the Black Reality Think Tank, and I am coming to you with a public service announcement about the COVID-19 blues. Has COVID-19 got you down? Are you unsure of what to do to protect yourself? Stressed out because you do not know how to manage the new challenges that COVID-19 has created? Are you experiencing symptoms? Are you afraid? Do you need help with something else? If you answer yes to any of these questions, contact the crisis line at 1-800-985-5990 or text Talk With Us to 66746. Remember, there is help, and let's stay safe.
My back is strong. strong enough to take the pain. Infected again and again. What do they call me? My name is Ansara. My name is Ansara. Ansara. Skin is brown, my manner is tough, I'll kill the first mother I see, my life has been rough, I'm awfully bitter these days. What do they call
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Shem Hotep, and good afternoon to all of you, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Black Reality Think Tank. I am your host, William Rogers. We are here this afternoon with the ladies of Black Sister Talk, I Want to Breathe radio program. And we thank you so much for joining us. We are going to talk a little bit today about black music and the black family. And so we really appreciate all of you for tuning in. We are here on the timeforanawakening.com radio platform, which is a part of the Black Talk Radio Network. And we are so happy that, as I said, you are here with us. We have other programs that are on this system as well. We will be talking about those coming up very shortly. But first, we want to just get right into this very dynamic conversation. We are also have a program that is due to air right after this one. So again, we will come at you again. So right now, we want to introduce to you your host for the evening, Miss LaWanda Chambers and Miss Leola Williams. Good afternoon, Black Sister Talk. How are you doing, ladies?
Hey, Dr. Roger. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All our listeners. So tonight, before we get started, you all, I thank you for listening in and everyone being very patient with us.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Again, happy late 4th of July to everybody, and I'm glad you all made it safely out of the storm, as they say. Again, thank you for being here and being a part of our Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. And this is your opportunity to share your thoughts and just have an open dialogue about how you feel and how things, how you view things in this day and age. So with that, I'll turn that over to Ms. Chambers and allow her
thank
to take
you,
the lead.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. So what we're going to do first is our ancestral profile. And then once we have our ancestral profile, we'll go ahead and start this evening's discussion. Today I want to shed light on Nina Simone. She was an author, civil rights activist, singer, and pianist. She was born Eunice Kathleen Wayman on February 21st, 1933 in Cheyenne, North Carolina. Nina Simone took to music at an early age, learning to play piano at the age of 3 and singing in her church choir. Simone's musical training over the years emphasized classical repertoire along the lines of Beethoven and Brahms, with Simone later expressing the desire to have been recognized as the first major African-American concert pianist. Her music teacher helped establish a special fund to pay for Simone's education, and after finishing high school, the same fund was used to send the pianist to New York's famous Juilliard School of the Arts. Simone taught piano and worked as an accompanist for other performers while at Juilliard, but she eventually had to leave school after she ran out of funds. Moving to Philadelphia, Simone lived with her family there in order to save money and go to a more affordable music program. Her career took an unexpected turn, however, when she was rejected from the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia, she later claimed the school denied her admittance because she was African American. Turning away from classical music, she started playing American standards, jazz, and blues in Atlantic City clubs in the 1950s. Before long, she started singing along with her music at the behest of a bar owner. She took the stage name Nina Simone. Nina, derived from the Spanish word Nina, came from a nickname used by her then boyfriend while Simone was inspired by actress Simone Signoret. The performer eventually won over such fans as writers Langston Hughes, Lorraine Hansberry, and James Baldwin.
Simone began recording her music in the late 1950s under the Bethlehem label, releasing her first full album in 1957, which featured Plain Gold Rings in the title track, Little Girl Blue. It also included her long top 20 pop hit with her version of I Love You 40 from the George and Ira Gershwin musical 40 and Death. Under different labels, Simone released a bevy of albums from the late 50s throughout the 60s and early 70s, including records like the amazing Nina Simone, 1959, Nina Simone Sings Elephant, 1962, Wild is the Wind, 1966, and Silk and Soul, 1967. She also made cover songs of popular music, eventually putting her own spin on such songs as Bob Dylan, The Times They Are Changing, and The Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. And she showed her sensual side with tracks like Take Care of Business, on 1965, I Put a Spell on You, and I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, on 1967, Nina Simone sings the blues. In many ways, Simone's music defies standard definition. Her classical training showed through no matter what genre of music she played. And she drew from a well of sources that included gospel, pop, and folk. She was often called the High Priestess of Soul, but she hated that nickname. She didn't like the label of a jazz singer either. If I had to be called something, it should have been a folk singer, because there was more folk and blues than jazz in my playlist, she later wrote in her autobiography. By the mid-1960s, Simone became known as the voice of the civil rights movement. She wrote Mississippi Goddamn in response to the 1963 assassination of Medgar Evers and the Birmingham church bombing that killed four young African-American girls. She also penned Four Women, chronicalizing the complex issues of a quartet of African-American female figures and young, gifted, and black, borrowing the title of a play by Hans Theory, which became a popular anthem. After the assassination of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968, Simone's bassist, Brad Taylor, penned Why the King of Love is Dead, which was performed by the singer and her band at the Westbury Music Festival. During the 60s, Simone had prominent hits in England, as well as I Put a Spell on You, Ain't Got No, I Got Life, Do What You Gotta Do, and To Love Somebody, with the later penned by Barry and Robin Gibb, and originally performed by the group known as the Bee Gees. As the 1960s drew to a close, Simone tired of American music scene and the country's deeply divided racial politics. Having been neighbors with Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz in Mount Vernon, New York, she later lived in several different countries, including Liberia, Switzerland, England, and Barbados, before eventually settling down in the south of France. For years, Simone also struggled with severe mental health issues and their finances, and clashed with managers, record labels, and the Internal Revenue Service. Simone, who had taken a break from recording in the 70s, returned in 1978 with the album Baltimore, with the title track a cover version of Randy Newman's Sing. Critics gave the album a warm reception, but it did not fare well commercially. Simone went through a career renaissance in the 1980s when her song My Baby Just Cares For Me was used in a Chanel No. 5 perfume commercial in the United Kingdom. The song thus became a top 10 hit in Britain in 1985. She also penned her autobiography, I Put a Spell on You, which was published in 1991. Her next recording, The Single Woman, came out in 1993. Touring periodically, Simone maintained a strong fan base that filled concert halls whenever she performed. And in 1998, she appeared in the New York tri-state area, her first trip there in 5 years, specifically playing at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark. The New York Times critic John Corelli reviewed the concert, noting that there is still power in her voice, and that the show featured a beloved sound, a celebrated personality, and a repertory that magnifies them both. That same year, Simone attended South African leader Nelson Mandela's 80th birthday celebration. And in 1999, Simone performed at the Guinness Blues Festival in Dublin, Ireland. She was joined on stage by her daughter, Lisa Simone Kelly, for a few songs. Lisa, from Simone's second marriage to manager Andrew Stroyer, followed in her mother's footsteps. Among her rare performance accomplishments, she has appeared on Broadway in Ada, using the stage name Simone. In her final years, reports indicated that Nina Simone was battling breast cancer. She died at the age of 70 on April 21st, 2003, at her home in Charleroi, France. While she may be gone, Simone left a lasting impression on the world of music, art, and activism. She sang to share her truth, and her work still resonates with great emotion and power. Simone has inspired an array of documentaries and professionals along her career. I wanted to share this with you guys this evening. I want to honor Nina Simone for what she has done and how she has contributed to our movement over time from generation to generation, and I just thank her for doing this. So without further ado, I'm Ms. Chambers. I'm a co-host of the Black Sister Talk, where we can breathe. And I'm so happy that you are here to join us this evening as we dissect music and how it has transcended over time. More specifically, looking at how music impacts the movement. Let me be clear, the movement represents self, family, community, and a political mind. We cannot have a discussion without understanding these components because we live in a world of integrated ideas. So we must look at these things as such. I think just from looking at the story of Nina, we can see several examples as to how music impacts the time and the place. And so I want to share light on my experience growing up as a young girl watching my own mother listening to this music and how I have grown to love this music. I also watched her, you know, play music and clean up. And this is how I learned about it. I saw how it could impact a person's mood. I noticed how a certain song could uplift her or bring her down. I realized how music can impact the heart, spirit, mind, and body. Music is significant to people culturally, and I feel that if it wasn't for music in our culture, we wouldn't have been able to make it through. Now let's shift gears for a moment. Looking at today's society, I believe the music continues to still be relevant. It speaks to a different time. It continues to tell a story that is in a more relatable way to this generation. Looking at the trauma we have experienced through the years, I can say that today's music speaks to the breakdown in the family, which can lead to some political ties because of the impact systemic racism has had on us all. The music today may use foul language, but this is not in vain. This language that you hear is that of pain. This language that you may hear may derive from a place deep within the depths of trauma. Messages to women having to use what they got to get what they want. It's easily transferred because these messages of sex present itself in all that society does. And so it is not by accident that culturally we have learned to value these ideas. I hear a lot of people say that they like the beat or the rhythm of the song, but they don't care about the words. I've been guilty of the same thing. However, music can do some amazing things. And so I say this to say, the more you listen to something you like, the quicker you learn the words to a song. And that what you just listened to for the beat now you're not just listening to the beat because you're now saying the words. Through repetition, you are speaking these thoughts and ideas into existence and giving power to things you consciously said have but now through the tongue it has power.
Yes, ma'am. So for me, since I'm from the baby boomer generation, and I thought about this the last time we did the show, and I gave a lot of thought to where we are today. And today, I can look at things and see that we are in a state of spiritual bankruptcy. I can remember when there was a time when certain music was our comforter, the kind of music that could lift you up when you were feeling down, the kind of music that gave you hope when you were feeling hopeless, the kind of music that gave you the strength to make it through another day when you felt like giving up. There was a song for that too. Music back then had meaning. It laid a foundation. It was created to provide hope for the hopeless, for the broken, for the abused, the depressed, the fatherless, the homeless, and the motherless. Music back in those days was our inspiration, because back then we didn't have counseling. But if you look at the way things are now, counseling really wasn't for us, not for African Americans. I think literally counseling came about when the system felt that they could make money off of the problems that they created during slavery. Even though all music was not positive, but it did have a meaning. It had meaning and it had substances. And it identified what you were going through. There was power in the lyrics that was sung while going through some pain or trauma. So when you look at trauma and you look at the pain, there was always something written that could shine a little light on what you were feeling and help you feel a little bit better. I was listening to the news the other day when the lady reporter said, you know, I'm sitting here today and I just feel like a motherless child. And she was referencing President Trump as being absent as the president of the United States. And that's where that music comes in at. It referencing what we feel, what we're going through now. You know, so as we look at it and as we get into the discussion about how music impact our young kids today, I hear a lot of music with no meaning. It means nothing. They call you out of your name. They tell you what you look like. They teach you how to do things. Whereas the word S-E-X wasn't in our vocabulary back then, but they even got a song to show you how to do that. So today, me and LaWanda would like to talk about how music impact us today. And what do we need to bring back in order to teach the young kids about music with substances that can help lift their spirit and encourage them to be better and to do things differently. So that's what I would like to get in today, the discussion about how music has changed us.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm gonna take a caller before we switch and go to the top of the hour, because I'm really interested in hearing more from you all. I've already known you all both. I've shared with you guys kind of our perspectives, and I know this is in a, I want you all to feel comfortable knowing that this is a place where we can agree and disagree and still be all right at the end of it. And so I'm going to take our first caller and just ask you to chime in and respond to what Mr. Yola has said or anything that you have heard thus far this evening. Let's take caller 414-801. Hello, hello, how are you doing today? 414-801.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Hello?
Hi, you laughing, come back to hello, how are you? How are you?
I am blessed on this beautiful day.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm so happy you are on the line and listening, and I just want to hear from you. How do you feel about this? What did you like? What did you like? Because I know you got something to say about today's music. I know that's the one word that stood out to you. Today's music. So go ahead and share with me what you think about that music. And I'm not going to be surprised if you bring up some of that music you heard in the past on the show either, and how it may have taken you up that. So I'm here and I'm open and I'm going to be breathing while you're talking and I'm ready to hear.
Okay. Well, one of the things, music is it has many genres and people have different tastes. And music from yesterday, of course, I love gospel and some contemporary because I can understand what it's saying. Touch my heart, touch my soul. And it calms me down. It all depends. But the music of today, and I remember my 42-year-old when some of those popular songs came out and he was singing it. And I got on his case because the songs made me very angry and it took things to a sexual overtone. And I don't think he really knew that, but the music continued and then it got down to where it just cut women up. I'm your mother. I don't want to hear that kind of talk, you know. And then there's the rated R and then the radio one that can be played. And our kids got exposed to what comfort them was, and I said like Tupac and the things he was saying, because things that got so out of hand. But it was a form of spirituality that I would say considered wild and risque. And I know some of my kids, Mom, we love him, we love him. Oh, it means so much. But I want to know, what are you saying? You haven't lived any life. So how can what he's saying mean so much to you? But because they're associated with other people who have been through so much trauma, and when they played the music, they identified with it, and kids who hadn't been through trauma started identifying with it. But I kept up with my gospel and my music. So it is like the music can play a great effect on people, positive or negative. But today, they don't realize they have more negative sex, because when they out there and you go to say something, a kid will snap at you in a minute. So their spirit is so up in the air, and they want to say, and you can add to bad all day, multiply it with words and cuss words and swear words. And they're doing this, and they don't know how negative they're presenting themselves out to the world and other people. And then there's so many sites in there, and it's crazy. I mean, it's like, I can't believe some of the songs. I heard one rap song say, I don't want my best dressed day to be in the casket. That's saying a lot, but goodness, what's happening all the other time?
Wait a minute, Luke, what did they say?
I don't want my best dressed day to be in a casket.
That's something to work on. There you go.
I know you're right. I know you're right. It's this man saying, guys, you got to dress up now. Stop the sagging, you know, because when you go in that box, you're going to have a suit on. You won't be sagging. And I just thought of that. But music, I really would love to see music get back to a point where you're talking and you're sending a positive message to change, because the message that has been coming over the past 2 decades, and it would come back there again, because I know Mom made me and all those rap and those people said bad things, and our parents wouldn't let us hear it. But it's a new day. It's gone too far, because there's too many tragedies, and then when they run to the music, they'll be smoking and dancing and shouting and getting all stirred up. When I worked in the prison system, a good friend of mine's son was killed on 33rd and Wells. These six young men were smoking. They would listen to their music, Tupac, and that's why I kind of like, ugh. But when they finished it, they wanted some more, so they went to the check cashing place, and this guy was coming out with a little check, only $33, and they shot him and took that check. And I had the opportunity to meet up with his mother. It's just so sad because they have lost touch with reality that human lives do matter, and you're hurting somebody's child. And I'm going to stop on that note. Thank you very much, Luana and Leola.
And thank you very much for sharing. Let me back up a minute here because I like Tupac myself. Tupac did make some songs that really hits home, and kids or young adults should listen to those songs opposed to listening to the ones that takes them to a different level. And the one that I really, really appreciate that he sang is Dear Mama. So if kids actually sat down and listened to that song, they can perhaps learn to appreciate their mother and give her the respect that she deserves. So I suggest people listen to Tupac, Dear Mama. All right. Just had to get that off my chest.
I'm glad you said that, Ms. Williams, because as I'm listening to that, I'm thinking music is therapeutic. You know, not just for the people who are listening to the music, but for the person who is creating the music. And so, although we may not agree with all the things that are being said in the music, I think it's fair to say it's a direct, directly associated with what's going on in a person's environment. You know, a lot of people are talking about, when we're hearing these love songs, people are talking about being in love. You know, they have these music or these experiences, you know, or hearing this information from others and being able to create this music. So when Tupac's making that music, you know, you got to think, this is a brother who's a product of a mother who's involved with the Black Panther movement. You know, you got to pay attention and look at what it is that you're being presented with. And see, maybe this brother got a story. You know, this is some pain he's sharing. You know, and because of this pain, this is why I'm talking about tossing it up and all this wonder if a heaven got a ghetto. You know, you got to understand that this music is a direct reflection of a person's heart and their pain. These young men out here rapping about hoochie-coochie and, you know, drugs and stuff like that, this is because this is what's in their environment. You know, and that's why I go back to saying system. You got to change the system because a lot of this stuff is just a byproduct of the environment. People are tired of being broke. People are tired of wanting for things. You know, this is what we're seeing. So, I go back to the pain. I know you may say, hey, I don't give a damn about their pain. They writing it. That's cathartic for them. That may be keeping one of these people from doing something way worse. So I appreciate your comment, Ms. Cecile and Ms. Williams as well. And so I want to go to another caller and ask you to chime in. I have 414-218. Would you like to share?
Hello?
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 Hi, okay. How are you?
I'm somewhere, but I'm here. I got a lot going on right now, but I'm telling you, I ain't even gonna go into all of that. But anyway, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm trying to concentrate on the show and something else at the same time. And all I could think about was this one record, and I don't know who it's by. But I remember the name of it, I think, is The Whole World is a Stage. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? I can't remember who it was by, but it was the name of, I mean, it would say The Whole World is a Stage and Everybody Plays a Part. I can't remember who the record is by, but anyway, when I think about that, I think about people all the people that, you know, come to my life. And when you think of it, everybody that you run into plays a little part of your life, and really think about it. You know, not just your family, but even a stranger that you meet on the street. You know, everybody plays a little part of your life that you have an encounter with. Do that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense. That's by the Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when, and I was just thinking of it while the lady before was talking, and I was, you know, when the first, when y'all first started talking about what we were going to talk about today, and I was sitting here and I was thinking, because I'm somewhere else, I was still trying to think at the same time. And I don't know, for some reason that came to my mind, because it's so true, you know, and I think about all the people that I've met, people that I've had a relationship with, people that might have been in my classroom, everybody that I kind of spoke to that I can think, if whether they just gave me some directions or just gave me a smile, a frown, or whatever. When you think about it and really think about it, they played a slight little part of your life, if it was only for that second, you know? So everybody that we come in contact with is a part of our...
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I have to say, yes, I do agree with you 150%, because that's what I was thinking at when I was talking about, hey, we got to look at this as a integrated thing, right? We're all right. In this together, and that's what I would call the ripple effect. You know, every right. action has a reaction. And so if somebody's having a bad day, a smile can turn your frown upside down. I'm completely aligned with that, and I appreciate your contribution to this discussion. Thank you so much.
We can learn from almost everybody that we meet, whether it's a bad, and even if it's bad, really, if you want to look at it, we can't bad situation into a positive situation if we really take the time to do it. You know, it takes a little more time than most of us want to do, put into it, but we can.
And that is true, because being in the field of substance abuse and mental illness, you know, people are smarter than you think. They are highly intelligent people. It's just that some, during the course of their lives, they became disconnected in some shape, form, or fashion. But they can still recall a moment in their lives where they were touched by someone, or someone left an impression with them that they carry out through their lives, and that's where they go back and reminisce. They find that happy place. And you can learn from anybody, even an alcoholic. An alcoholic has something to say. So don't think just because they've been labeled by others that they're not aware of what's going on and who they are. And matter of fact, some of them know who they are when the professionals have not yet identified who they are. So that's something that we need to look at as well, because we are a resilient people, and we've been through a lot, and we've dealt with a lot, and the music has helped us to overcome and maintain a lot. So.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback off of that, I think a lot of the time, culturally, we struggle with knowing how to communicate. And so a song can communicate that emotion, and that song can take you there. I mean, you can hear a song that breaks you right on down and touch your spirit so deep, you know, where you feel ready to keep moving. You know, you got that now known confidence, because that song has said something that has been close to your heart that you really didn't know how to communicate. And so that's something that music does for us. And I think it's important that we understand how to keep that tradition going in the home with our children, sharing that music that got you through, so that you can help them to understand how to get through. You don't want your children to learn the wrong stuff, you know, or let alone you be listening to that music and saying, well, this grown folks music, and that's what I like to listen to. Are you sure you want to have your kids being grown, listening to that music? I mean, these are the things we got to look at. I'm not going to bash any particular artist out here because everybody is trying to do what they got to do to survive when they make this music. It's speaking to their soul, their experiences, and so I don't judge them for it. But I do say to families, you have to teach your children the correct values so that when they do hear some music that's not appropriate, they know how that fits in their life and how they should respond. I thank you all for listening to Black Group Talk, Where You Can Breathe. We are now at the top of the hour, and I want you to continue to listen in. Thank you so much.
Everybody claims that they want the best things out of life. But not everyone, want to fall for the toss and strife. Like this particular fella walks around all day long saying, shine. Harry Hippie. Lies asleep in shame. Life don't bug him, cause he thinks he's got it made. He never worried about anything in particular. Ooh, he might even sell Free Press on Sunset. I like to help a man when he's down, but I can't help him much when he's sleeping on the ground. He's like a bottle of water, and he just flows through the night. Walks around all day long singing a song. Oh, oh, yeah. Very hippie. She's Harry's lady. Fernando's pennies just to feed Harry's baby. She can lie down a story so incredible. Man, you want to help her take the food home and put it on the table. I'd like to help a man when he's down. But I can't help you, Harry, if you want to sleep on the ground. Sorry, Harry, oh, you're too much weight to carry around. But he still walks around all day long singing this song. Shine, 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 shine. Tell me, where will you be going? But oh, man, when he gets his horn and starts blowing, will you hang around L.A. or get your ride on the freeway? Meet an old familiar face at a new place. I like to help a man when he's down. But how can I help him if he's somewhere out of town? Sorry, Harry, think I'm gonna put you down. Cha-da-da, cha-da-da, cha-da-da-da. Everybody help me sing the song.
The following is a public service announcement from the Black Reality Think Tank.
My name is Leola Williams. I am the owner of an outpatient mental health and substance abuse facility. I am a clinical substance abuse and mental health counselor. I appreciate the Black Reality Think Tank for inviting me on their program to share with you some of the things to help reduce your fear and stress during this pandemic. I know we are all experiencing fear and uncertainty at this time, not knowing who or what to trust, coming from the media or the White House, which makes it difficult to remain calm. One thing that I would strongly suggest is to reduce the amount of time you spend watching the news. Try to increase your communication with family and friends. Listen to your favorite music. Perhaps start an in-home garden with your children. Have them to plant their favorite vegetable garden. Play a word game with family and friends, using the first letter of their name to create a word to describe themselves. Exercise together, make it challenging. Dance, show off your old routines. Share some of the rules from the old days that your grandparents implemented. Watch a movie together. Have a nice, fun day together. Learn to breathe, relax, and take one day at a time and pray daily. These are just a few tips on how to reduce your stress.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We are back here with Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. We thank you so much for this stimulating conversation, ways and things that we as a family can soothe ourselves in difficult and so a lot of times troubling times. And very clearly, music has always been the source to do that. We're so appreciative of this conversation with these young ladies and what they're doing. We are a part of the Black Talk Radio Network. We are also on the platform of timeforanawakening.com. All of our programs are archived. You can go to our website at www.timeforanawakening.com and go into our search portal and look for the Black Reality Think Tank, and any of the programs that have aired in the past will be there. And you can listen to them 24/7. We also have other programs. The Black Reality Think Tank family has expanded somewhat. Immediately after this show, normally there is a program that comes on called the Sankofa Elders Council. And that program is hosted by Brother Alfonso Watkins. This is an opportunity where we give the elders a chance to speak, and we are looking at the world through the eyes of our elders. Unfortunately, on today, we will not be able to broadcast that program. There are some challenges with his guests. He had several guests that are scheduled, but those guests are doctors. And as you know, the schedule of a doctor, sometimes it's really things change very quickly. And so I just got a call from him saying that they would not be able to do that because there have been some difficulties and they will not be able to appear. But he'll be back next week. It comes on at 6 o'clock and it airs at, to 8, at 6 o'clock Central Time. And then on Thursday, we have a program of a group of young millennial ladies called After 7. After 7. And that is also a very dynamic program. Last week they talked about relationships. And boy, I tell you, I have never laughed so hard at some of the things that they were talking about as it relates to relationships. And after listening to that program, I knew I was old school. If I ever had any doubts after that, I know. But anyway, I really appreciated that conversation and listening at that gap. But that's every Thursday from 6 to 8. Central Time, right here on Time for an Awakening. And then on Tuesday, we have the Black Reality Think Tank, which is more of our political economic forum. That program is hosted by myself, and we talk about a lot of the political, economic, and social issues that impact our community on a day-to-day basis. Also, there is a program on the Black Radio Network, timeforanawakening.com, called African Perspectives. That program is hosted by Brother Oshiemi Adelabu, It airs every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That program broadcast out of Atlanta, Georgia. So that's African Perspectives with Brother Oshie, which is a part of his Motherland Media Network. And that program, as I said, airs from 11 a.m. Eastern Time to 1 p.m. And then on Fridays, we have a very dynamic program. This program is operated by the managers of the Time for an Awakening Network System, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. It's called Time for an Awakening. And it's every Friday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And they are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They also air again on Sunday from 7 to 10 Eastern Time. And again, it's called Time for an Awakening. And very clearly, their program is really dynamic. A lot of wonderful guests that they interview, very powerful movers and shakers of the black world are usually their guests. And so I'm always empowered. And then you can always, as I said, go always back into the archive and listen to any of those programs. So that's our lineup. That's what we are doing here. That's our platform. I'm really happy. I thank the Creator for allowing us to have the opportunity to talk with our family and friends and neighbors and get your input. And hopefully out of some of this, we can build some agendas and programs that can really make some changes. So with that, I'm going to turn you back over to these two wonderful young ladies, Ms. Leola Williams and Ms. LaWanda Chambers. Black Sister Talk. You want to breathe. Okay, ladies.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Dr. Rogers. So, Ms. Williams? Okay. So, before I move on into the discussion, I want to just take a moment and ask everyone to take this moment with me to celebrate the birthday of Baby May. That is Dr. Rogers' daughter. May she rest in power. I'm going to read a poem that's dedicated to her. Take off my pain.
Thank you so much,
Carry me slow. I won't fight here anymore. Tell them I'm all right.
Thank you.
I'm coming home. And so, I wanted to just take that moment for Baby May and turn it over to you, Ms. Williams. Is there anything you'd like to say?
Thank you very much, LaWanda. Again, Dr. Rogers, sorry for your loss and all the other people who have lost someone they loved and cared about. Memory lasts forever, and there's always a song that can address the wonderful memories that you shared before your loved one departed this world, but went on to live life somewhere else. So thank you very much for that reading. What say about the music that I like listening to, especially when I was going through my hard times, or my mom was going through her hard times as well. Some of the things that I hold on to today that helps me to get through my difficult days, even when I'm dealing with the system and we know we have to work and we know we have to adhere to their rules and do different things, but I often question some of the things that they have us to do that is strictly textbook, but not from personal experience or the way you was reared. So there's one song that I often play that helps me get through the day, because it still happens in my life today. And that is, this song has been sung by many people, but the one that I like the most is the one that Aretha Franklin put together, Bridge Over Troubled Water. And a couple of the lyrics that I wrote down is, when you're down and out, when you're on the streets, when evening falls so hard I'll take your part. When darkness comes and pain is all around, just like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay you down. And with that being said, when we look at our past and look at how far we've come, I go back and reflect back to slavery when we were that bridge over the troubled water that we had to endure as slaves. All we had was each other. We were that bridge that comforted us while we was in our pain. No matter what pain we were in, we were that bridge. We were that bridge that gave counsel and hope to the needy. We are still that bridge today, and we will always be that bridge that help us to cross over while the waters still run deep. So for me, music helps me to identify with our ancestors, identify with their pain, because spiritually, you can feel that pain in some shape, form, or fashion. You can just feel it and know that it's real. And no matter what, you can overcome. You know, that's like the rough side of the mountain that we listened to early on. Coming up on the rough side, we've had to endure that all our lives. We're still coming up on the rough side of the mountains. When LaWanda talks about people being broke, that's a rough side. When we're still dealing with substance abuse, we're dealing with the rough side. The songs that we're saying, it was their pain, but it gave us a map and a path to what we can do to overcome some of those obstacles. And I just wanted to share that part with you guys, because music is therapy. It really is. Ms. Chambers?
Yes, I'm here, and I have to agree with you, Ms. Williams, because, and I think you're going to agree with what I'm about to say, and I even heard you mention it earlier briefly. Therapy was not something that big culture. We got a lot of things in our culture that we do, but we don't call it that. You know, we just do it because that's what we know to do. But it has never been called therapy. And so to say, that's music therapy. Or when you like to go to things like art and that calms you, or those skills are things that bring you peace, we don't call that art therapy. We just say that's something I like to do. And so I think it's really important we don't have to call it music therapy, but it's just nice to know culturally that some of the same things are happening, we just don't call it that. And so I'm going to open up the lines right now again, and I want to hear from our viewers and hear kind of more from you. How have you been practicing writing, and how do you feel about the understanding of today's music, or even what you feel like missing from today's music? So I'm going to go call a 507-481. Would you care to chime in on the discussion? How are you doing this evening? Hello, 507-481. Would you care to chime in to this discussion? Okay, I'm going to go to the next caller. Caller 414-759, would you care to chime in into this discussion? How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, Ms. Chambers. How is everyone doing? Great show as always. I look forward to being on the think tank every week when we have it. I feel like I had a sabbatical because it's been 2 weeks, so I was like, I got to get my fix. So today was the day. But I am still dancing to that music because I've lost many loved ones, and I would like to give my condolences as well to Dr. Rogers and his family, and I'll be lifting them up in prayer. But it all depends on the individual and what music and how it plays a role in your life and, you know, what you're dealing with. Because sometimes it just don't have to be an individual song from the various artists that we have. It could be something that we hum up ourselves in order to deal with whatever is going on in our lives at that time. But like Miss Leola said, music is music. You know, people listen to certain music for different reasons. It just all depends on that individual. So some of those tunes can be a memorable one. Some can be, you know, can be used to conceal the pain that you're going through. Some could be just for listening purposes. It just depends on who you are.
True.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your contribution, my friend. It's always our pleasure to have you on a Black Sister Talk where you can breathe. I always appreciate your comments and think that that's powerful. You're right on. I'm going to go on to our next caller, 419-346. How are you doing this evening? You can chime in into this discussion.
Hello. Good afternoon to everyone. How are you guys today?
I'm doing okay.
I just wanted to comment. Music is part of our culture. It's a part of our everyday. You know, I still remember waking up this Saturday morning and listening to music while we cleaned up the house and did our day and everything. I just wish the artists would take a little bit more class with their style of revealing too much, you know. Just wish they had a little bit more secrets about, you know, we used our imaginations and, you know, they had different terms and different stuff. You just didn't get the open book to everything. <You know? laughs> little girls out here twerking, we couldn't even move our hips, you know. And it's just different. But it's part of our culture, and I applaud anybody that is making music. I just wish they would, you know, just tone it down, lay it back a little bit, you know, singing on ratchet, bad, bougie, ratchet, what, okay, just like, is that really what we're
doing? Do I gotta be that? Right. Be like, do I gotta be that?
So it's like it's more classier, you know. You know, we used to do wait a minute, Mr. Potion, you know, put your hand out, wait, you know, the whole little nobody got hurt doing that. You didn't have to worry about walking out the room and somebody dropping a note, you know. But it's just a lot. But this is just a different way, the people, different cultures, different expressions. You know, we just gotta remember who we are and remember everything is entertaining. It's still entertainment purposes. You know, the scriptures made it through. The 70s got us over. I guess 2020 will get us paid.
Oh, come on, speak to the sisters. Let it happen. Because I think it's going to take us under.
Right, I don't know. So somebody's gonna have to bring us back. So, you know, we got to get paid and bring us back. You know, I'm talking on a radio podcast. I'm sorry, everyone. America, my grandson, and I came outside. And he still wants me, but that's all we need to do. And just play, you know, if you're a grandma, great grandma, or whatever, play the old school for them. And we got to go back to what we used to do. They got to go iPod and YouTube, the old school music and the 70s, 80s. It's all there. Let them listen to it for a while so they can experience what you experienced. I didn't break his arm, I'm fixing it. So.
I think you are dead spot on with that.
Yep, so.
Take it back. Get some value from the music, you know?
Yeah, just take it back to Saturday morning, you know? Clean up music. That means you cleaned up, you had the music on, always listen to jazz, blues, Sunday was church Sunday. you know, I was just watching, what's that, Barbershop, and Barbershop had on there, can't have rap at 10 o'clock. You know what I mean? So we got to we gotta have a balance. We have to start teaching our kids what we already learned. That way they can survive once we all gone. You know, we just got to have some type of guideline. So let the music tell the story. And I'm sorry, I would like to recommend Hamilton. See, speaking of music, it's a new show called Hamilton, and they did the whole production. It's about the state and Congress and how it got officiated. It was a whole musical. I would highly recommend sitting down and watching that. It's on Netflix. It's 2 hours, but it's interesting. It's gravitating. And it's all African-American actresses, singers. It's a play, all done in music. And so
sounds
Disney,
good.
It's clean. It's nice. It's enjoyable. Nice get-together family moment. It's hot outside. Turn the radio, turn the TV on, and let's get it in America.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Yeah, let's get it in America.
That's a good opportunity. Thank you. I love you all. And
we love you too.
Always call in. We love you as well.
All right, thank you. And I
all right, have a good one.
You too.
I always love when our callers call in. It feels so good to hear your voices and hear your different perspectives. And, you know, it just helps to captivate the minds and keep others thinking. You know, this is a time to really communicate and work towards those critical thinking skills. Because you may hear somebody say something and you was about to say something and then make you feel a shift. So I really appreciate all our callers who call in and just thank you so much for everything that you say here on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. I'm going to go on the other line and take another caller, 602-403. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Wonderful, wonderful.
You know, it's ironic what that sister just said there. She got off the radio. Because I was born in Jamaica. And we grew up with the same culture, music and Saturday morning, cleaning up. But, you know, as you said, in the 70s, I think that was the best music that black people put out was in the 70s. And it was revolutionary music. Being born in Jamaica, we grew up on with Bob Marley and Dennis Brown, and it was revolutionary music. It was music for revolution. And I came to this country in 1980, and it was the same thing. It was KRS-One with the rap music. It was Two Live Crew with it was revolutionary music. But what happened? The system co-opted the music in the late 90s. They co-opted it. They bought out all those record labels and they changed the music. See? They changed the genre of the music. And they said, look, we don't want you to put out no more revolutionary music. We want to put out trash. That's what we want you to put out. See? And so a lot of these young artists, they will, you know, they say, well, if you want to make money, you have to go buy what the record company and the distribution company say. See? So that's why, you know, the good music is still out there, but they're not putting that music out there. They're putting out trash. Okay? So we have to find a way to get that music back. You know, even in the 80s, we used to have those black parties and stuff like that. They don't do that no more. We don't do that no more in the black community. Ain't no more black parties and stuff like that. So that destroys the social fabric of black people. And with COVID, it's worse. You know what I'm saying? They say, you should distance from each other. Stay far. you know. So, you know, it's a battle. This is war, you know. We organize and strike our blue, and he organize and strike his blue. Now it's our time to organize and strike the death blow. Thank you so much for the
call. I appreciate you, and I thank you for bringing that up, because that is exactly it. You know, people sit back and they study us and they say, why are these people so strong? You know, what are they doing? How are they able to get this message across, right? And so they see how that music has revolutionized over time. And so, like you said, the big record effect, we put this trash out and we cannot get the message out. And so I say to them, maybe music is not the strategy, because they already know their move. You know, and that's why I say to our communities, you know, we really got to look at what we are putting inside of our kids' brain and think it's laughing, you know, funny and cute, little girl twerking. That ain't cute, you know. That ain't cute, little girl twerking. So you need to demand a change. You need to demand. Stop spending your money on this. Stop buying these, all this electronic devices so your kids can have access to this stuff. Because it is messing them up. If it's teaching them that they gotta be this, like this, or like that, in order to be liked or to be loved. And so, I thank you, brother, for what you said. Please continue to call in to Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. We are here every week from 3 to 5. We're gonna go to the next caller, 414-235, if you care to chime in. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, would you care to chime in into this discussion?
No, I'm just listening to this wonderful conversation on ThinkTech today. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate the communication today.
Before we take another caller, I just want to say that, you know, I can sit on my porch, look across, see the playground. Most of the time, children are playing basketball. Everything is fine. Until someone drives on the playground with their loud music, you can smell marijuana from across the street. They put on a certain tune and the whole attitude changes. It's as though they've woken up something that had been asleep. And when I sit there and I listen, I can hear the young lady, a young girl, she's about maybe 10, 12, look at this young man who's walking across the street, and the little boy says something, and she in turn, "Shut up, you broke MF. You gonna always be broke. What would I want with a fuck-in like you?" I'm like, oh my God.
How do you know this already? How do you learn this language?
So music does put young people in a position not only to lose respect for themselves, but have no respect for those around them. So here it is. You're challenged by what they're learning, what they're speaking, and how they're speaking it and to whom. Because their level of respect is different from your level of respect towards them and you towards another grown-up. So the music has come into this world in this day and age where it has captured the kids' mindset, and some young adults as well, where they lack the respect to want to know something different, to want to know who they are, who they represent, and how they can make a change in their own family in order to broaden their horizon. So I challenge these parents, because I heard a young mother tell her grandkids today, well, told me, well, they can only go to sleep if they listening to this rap stuff. I'm like, what? How old are they? They're 1, 2, and 3. I'm like, really? So the rap music put them to sleep? Come on now. So here it is. We have to get
to a point. We're not even singing lullabies no more.
No, lullabies, they'll probably cuss you out if you come with a lullaby. Well, parents don't know what that is anymore. But the memory of what these children are being left with are the repercussions that we get from their actions. That's pretty much where we are, because they try to live by the songs they hear, opposed to the language that is taught to them growing up. So I just challenge people to help their kids to learn something different. Learn to express themselves in a way where it makes a difference to themselves, and learn to respect other people, because the respect of adults and the elderly, it's gone.
I definitely hear that. And I see it. I mean, we work out here in the community and we've seen a lot of different things. We're seeing children changing, you know, and I say this is due to the changing times that we're living in. If there's no time to just slow down and teach your kids, people don't know how to communicate because they don't have the opportunities to even have the interactions. They're too busy working. They're too busy trying to meet basic needs to even be able to remember how good a song to take them back. That's when it hit them. They have these strong emotions of not being able to hear it, you know, not being able to be in the present, and just constantly trying to distract them. Keep moving. Everything is about let's keep moving, hurry up and go. And so our children are suffering because the time is not being taken to build those relationships, to teach those values. You know, growing up, I heard the lady speak earlier about the Saturday morning. You know, Saturday morning is different now. Saturday mornings is kids waking up to no parent in the house, or parents gone and no breakfast on the table. I mean, Saturday mornings and days have changed so drastically in our community because of the substance abuse issues, because of the domestic abuse issues, because of the women, you know, idolizing these men instead of taking time out with their children. I mean, we have a lot of things to battle in the community. And that's why this negative music can take control of our future, because these are the products of the pain that these children have experienced. So I just want to say that, you know, we have to be real and say what's really going on and what we're seeing, and that's why it's happening. This is happening all around us because folks ain't got time to pay attention. You know,
we really need to get back. Yeah, sorry about that. We really need to get back to parenting. Go ahead, Ms. Chambers. Right. I don't want to step over you.
No, you're fine. You're trying to chime in right there, because that's exactly what the message is that I'm conveying right here. We need to get back to parenting our own children. Okay? Bottom line, we have to get back to parenting our own children. And that means what you're putting in front of them. Let's stop using these electronics. Let's get back in the present. Let's talk to these kids. Let's see how your day going. They love that music. What's that you're listening to? Okay, did you know this? Let's engage people. Let's engage. Ms. Williams, you better chime in before I go out and take another call from my caller.
No, let's just do the call first and then I'll call.
Okay, so I have call 414-463. Would you care to chime in into this discussion? How you doing this evening? Hello, how are you? Okay, so I'm going to go on to our last caller on the line. We didn't get to see from 507-481. Do you want to chime in into this discussion? Okay, well, I thank you for your listening in. Okay, Ms. Williams, we have no more callers that we need to check in on right now, so we will carry out the rest of the conversation and do a once-over before the last 10 minutes of the show. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Again, for me, being in this field for over 20-some years now and listening to the people or to the young people of all ages, for me, being in the 60s, you know, I can still go back and reach for something that I built as my foundation, whether it be an old spiritual, an old blues song. It is all about how you receive the message, because even with, I'm going to bring up Millie Jackson. So everybody knows Millie, but Millie has a song that I reference to when people are having relational problems, going through bad relationships. And one thing she says in that song, that whether you're cheating or whatever, and if you have some children, the ones ain't big enough to play are the ones who lose. And that is so true, because you have these relationships that bring about children. And when the relationship falls apart, the children are left behind. But you make it a decision to have these children through some of the very music you were listening to, so they were happy songs at the time. But now that the life has come into the world, that music has played out. Now you're listening to a different beat, or you're not paying attention to the lyrics of certain songs. But as Millie Jackson would say, the ones ain't big enough to play are the ones who lose. So we have to get back to a point in time in this century, in this time, in this place, the year 2020, because what we're looking at now, due to the music that we're listening to, it also gives the police an opportunity to play to that beat. Because if you listen to the music and how some of these police officers are talking to the black men that they are handcuffing, they are bringing down to their knees, they are putting their knees on their necks, or they are choking them out and cussing at them at the same time. They too can fall into that same music, because we are allowing that music to impact who we are, not recognizing and knowing who we are, because we disrespect ourselves and allow others to disrespect us as well. And some of them include our own children. So therefore, the law not only disrespects us, but kill us at the same time. That's just my analogy. I'm sure you have yours, and I can listen to some feedback and get that from you guys. Please tell me what you think, because that's me. That's what I think.
music is making a difference in how we live and the way people are treating us because of what somebody else wrote. Please chime in. I'm listening. I just had to get that out. I needed a moment to breathe. So I've been holding it in.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate you breathing, sister, because that's the truth. You know, I can't get mad at the truth. I ain't going to get mad at nobody's truth on here because that's what's deep. We're all Black people. We all experience things differently. And it just sheds the light on, hey, we are not the same, but we want the same things. And so, yes, Ms. Williams. Thank you, Ms. Williams. I'm going to go to caller 414-759. You care to chime in on this part of the discussion?
Yes, Ms. Chambers. I'll have to agree with Ms. Leola about everything that she said. Because back in our time, you know, when you had B.B. King and all those guys, when they made music, they told us a story. And the story, it was involving how they felt about that individual, whoever was important in their life, versus the music that we're hearing in this day and age. You know, it's always, I'm going to slap your mama, I'm going, you know, all these F-bomb words and all this. It's not telling a story. It's just, it goes along with that systemic stuff that we have going on these days and what they expect of us. So, therefore, if we're participating in that stuff and it doesn't make it right, this is how we're being treated. And not only are they, you know, pulling over our men, they're pulling over our young adults. For how about 13 and under now? For what reason? They're babies. And I go back to the story Ms. Loyola was talking about. The lady said the 1 and 2 year old couldn't go to sleep unless they hear this type of music. Sometimes in life, people are that don't know no better, they can't do any better because they're imposing what was taught in their lifetime, and now they're imposing it upon their kids because they haven't seen anything different. And I guess that's where we come in at, where we can make an important impact on these young mothers, because mothering, fathering, it don't come with instruction. You learn as you go. Some people have the opportunity like I had. I had my grandmother who coached me the entire way. But some of us don't have that. So they kind of learn from themselves. They learn it from their friends. They learn it from the streets. And depending on who they're learning is coming from, it shows in our children. And our children are hurting because there's no guidance. There's no, there's a lot that they're missing out on. And I feel sad for our young adults because a lot of us was unfortunate to have that guidance growing up. And now that they are having children, their children are suffering because that's why we have so much going on in our communities with our children. We just got to find out how to reach that and turn that around.
Thank you very much for that. I have to agree with that because the thing it is, I'm not, you know, the thing it is for me, if they choose to listen to that particular music, at least sit down and explain to them that it's just music. You know, yes, you can make a dollar from that music. You really can. But where does that put you? Because I'm thinking artists nowadays, all the money and all the music that they've made, they should be able to balance their checkbooks and sit down and teach, this is where I'm coming from. This is how this came about. Let them know how you were able to take that music and make a living off of it, and how it impacts you and how it affects your life today. You know, what influences does it have with your children? Or do you allow your children to listen to that kind of music? Or do you mix it up? or do you allow them to listen to Aretha Franklin, James Brown, the OJs, or anybody like that? Like I said, even with Tupac, he did make some good music, especially Dear Mama, Brenda Had a Baby, different things like that. Do you take that music and work with it and look at it and see how it fits into your life and how it can help you grow? What can it produce for you? Because if it's not going to help you produce something, does that mean you're going to take it and make it a problem for somebody else? You know, that's kind of, you know, where I'm at when I look at music. How can I benefit from it? Do I take these lyrics and make them fit into my world? Does it promote me? Does it elevate me? Does it motivate me to reach for the stars and hopefully I'll land on the moon? You know, something like that. Kids have no inspiration or motivation or the desire to reach for their own creation. So we need to teach them something different. But that's what I think.
Thank you for that, Miss Lane. I appreciate you chiming in on that, because I know that has to be alarming for even you, you know, as grandparents. If you was to hear one of your grandkids listening to some of that stuff, I know you would be like, excuse me? What is this, Matt? You know, it hits your ears a different way, and so you don't understand what they're hearing or what that music means to them.
And it's funny that you say that, Miss Chambers, because I do have a grandchild. Knows every lyric to the song. And she's three. And I'm looking at her like, okay, when, you know, because I don't listen to that type of music. I'm like, how did you know that, you know, those lyrics and every, don't miss a beat. And I'm like, okay, well, let's sing something a little bit different, you know, that's more age appropriate. So I kind of redirect her, and then she'll start singing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay, well, we can do that. But it's just like Ms. Leola said, you know, we got to teach them about this different music that we pick, that they're picking up on and singing just because of the beat and because it sounds good. And to see, well, what about this music you like? How does it apply to your life? You know, of course, you can't talk to a three-year-old about that, but you can prepare them for when they get to that age where they can articulate, you know, what the song means to them and how can they apply it in their life, or how can it move them forward as an adult and what have you. And by the way, Ms. Leola, I do like those songs by Tupac, Dear Mama and Brenda Has a Baby. So those are some great songs. Not all rappers are bad.
Right.
They're not
That's
bad.
True.
But you have to be the one as the adult to pick and choose which ones you feel that's going to be more meaningful and appropriate to your children, because some of this stuff that these children are learning are from music, electronics, and the people that they're hanging around.
So you know how I am now. I'm not going to sit up here and look at this from just one perspective, and we only got a little bit more time left to shift gears. So let's just play devil's advocate for a minute now and just listen and think about how music has been. And so I'm going to use this for an example. Back in the day, we had the Temptations. We had one of them songs, and y'all at the little dance party or whatever, and you know that's the time where it's time to slow dance and everybody get close. And so y'all hear that song and you be smiling from ear to ear. And then we try, you know, let's fast forward a little bit more, right? And I'm going to use Keith Sweat for an example. You know, some of that love making music, singing about Isley Brothers and stuff like that. Let's look at all of that music and just kind of look at how, you know, that's the same results come from the same music. You know, it's all was made to be intended to love or to make love. And so I think what we can all agree on this evening is that the music is still doing what it's supposed to be doing, regardless if y'all like the words or not. I mean, it's just, again, the language of these children and this trauma that they have experienced. I'm not saying it's right. You know, I don't agree with what's going on in our community, but this music is a product of the environment in which these people are living. And so if we want this music to change, all I'm saying is we're going to have to start changing these systems so that this pain is no more. That's my piece on it. So I'm going to open the lines up for everybody and anyone who may have something to chime in. I want you to chime in. Dr. Rogers, if you care to chime in and share your thoughts on this discussion, I appreciate it. Otherwise, me and Ms. Williams are going to get to closing thoughts. So
other words, you're saying, no more listening to Juicy Fruit, huh?
I ain't got nothing wrong with Juicy. Look, because you know what I mean. You know what that music mean when you hear that music. You know it's go time when you hear our 10-12 play. Come on, panty dropping music. Don't sit up there in front of these kids and act like they don't got they right to have they panty dropping music.
Just hold on. It depends on the level of maturity of where a child is.
That's right.
Because a lot of children, they can listen to Juicy Fruit. They can listen to R. Kelly. They can listen to a lot of things. And if they've been raised in an environment where they've actually listened to songs with substances, those songs won't faze them. Because they're able to determine what's good and what's not. Because in a lot of homes, if they're being raised by a person who is spiritual, not religion, but spiritually connected in a sense, they can understand that type of song versus other songs, spiritual songs, lick you up and down and all of that stuff. They are not there yet. They're on a different level. So a lot of kids, where I find that those songs make a difference in their lives, are the ones who are broken and they're looking for something to fill that void. Mm-hmm. So those songs, they're able to pick up and they're able to put those songs in their chest and start looking in a direction that can connect them with somebody to make them feel better compared to that song. And that's how a lot of feelings get hurt, because that song has taken them to a point or to a level in their lives that they think this little boy gonna make them feel like that song all the time. That's where the confusion comes in at. Sorry about that, Dr. Rogers.
No, that's all right. That's all right. This is a very important topic.
That's funny.
Very important.
That's topic. So funny. Look, that thing will be over before that song gets to the end. You ain't even got to put it on repeat. Tell you that.
Right.
you know, in my day...
They don't know the world.
In my day, my parents, if I certain songs, if I played like Ike and Tina Turner, if I played that, she told me she was going to throw the record player out and the records and me. All of them were going out. Because I used to play the one where Tina Turner, where they were saying, rock me all night long, rock me like your back ain't got no bone. My mother said, if I hear that one more time, all of us going out, including you. So that was...
That's true. I had a young man that say, if I hear that song, because this is the Saturday music, their mom get up and drinking clean on a Saturday, my last $2. He said, Miss Leola, if they play that song one more time, I'm snapping my last $2.
And I need some new shoes, and you ain't here talking about your last $2. I don't want to hear that mess. I'm trying to tell you, I remember my grandma got to my butt. She was in there listening to You Really Got a Hold on Me. And I came in there singing it, and she said, I know I play this damn song too much, because this one in here singing it, and told me, you do not be singing, no, you really got a hold on me, hold. She said, you really just, girl, get your butt, you know too much as it is, you know, and that's what it is.
Well, right, we have 1 minute. We have 1 minute, and I just want to say this has been an interesting conversation. I want to thank all the listeners for chiming in, for listening, and voicing their opinion, and having the opportunity to breathe and share their thoughts. So thank you guys so much. This has been a very good discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all again. Thank you. And please reach out to us on www.patreon.com/Black Sister Talk.
Shine in the sky. Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. Shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new